The Effinrad Snowboard Podcast is presented by Vans. Before I start the show, this week's guest and his wife run Topia Retreat, a mindfully designed seaside boutique retreat center located in southern Baja, Mexico, with panoramic views and all the amenities. Surrounded by wild desert and exotic mountains, Topia Retreat is located in Pescadero, a coastal village centered around fishing and farming just down the road from the charming town of Todos Santos. The retreat experience is infused with authentic local flavors and ingredients, from the freshest seafood to organic produce to their adobe pizza oven, the Topia menu does not disappoint. Their infinity pool and hot tub boast the best sunset views my wife and I have ever seen, and we can't wait to go back. You can book a getaway at www.topiaretreat.com. Be sure to mention that you heard about them here on Effin' Rad. Season 7 of Effin' Rad is sponsored by Wired Snowboards, The Boardroom Snowboard Shop, and On Optics, Time Bomb Trading, the Canadian distributor of 32, Stance, Rumpel, Rourke, and Dragon, and of course our friends at Tribute Board Shop in Nelson, BC. Tribute Board Shop is the community snowboard shop for Nelson, BC, which is the beating heart of the Powder Highway. When you visit Nelson, be sure to drop into Tribute and set yourself up with some amazing snowboard and skateboard gear sold by quality individuals. Also, subscribe to the Tribute Lounge on YouTube, where Mark, Shane, and guests review latest gear, shred, and even give you a peek inside John Buffery's backpack. Go to tributeboardshop.ca and check out their Tribute Split Board, hand-built by Wired Snowboards right here in BC. Support also comes from Mount Seymour, Grouse Mountain, whose season is still going until the end of April, New Green Superfood Drink, Volcom Outerwear, and Intuition Liners. Thanks to everybody who supports the show. Chris Swears is an East Coast pro who came up competing on Sims with the likes of Todd Richards. Chris joined Liquid Snowboards as a pro snowboarder and traveled with the Ride Liquid and 5150 team during the absolute heyday of pro snowboarding. I met him at his Mexican home overlooking an incredible sunset. So sit back and relax, enjoy the sounds of the ocean, and this awesome conversation with Chris Swears.
This is my cat, Tope.
Yeah, speed bump.
Look at the sunset.
When we were building this place, I'd walk down to the beach every single morning, just flip-flops, hat, shirt, on the beach. Not once did anyone ever take anything. I drive from here every day to go surf now because I can't really walk. It's a little too far, but
yep.
Never lock my car. Right. Yeah, nothing. You can't do that in Seattle.
No.
Your shit would just be gone in a second. Your car would be gone. Yeah, I mean, Cadillac converter would be gone.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I left my card in a bank machine in La Paz.
Yeah.
And the guy came running out. He didn't want to touch the card. He's like, he just was like, you forgot your card?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, you could have just pressed, like, yes, yeah. All the money. Please take that out.
Keep spitting it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, people are really nice down here. I've been down here for a year and a half. Been mm-hmm. coming down since 2010. I've never ran into any mean people.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, everybody's very nice.
Yeah.
Very family-oriented.
Yeah.
Like, very, like...
To the gringos, you got to watch out for.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. All right. Did you guys see any whales?
I haven't seen any. I haven't seen any today.
That's kind of unusual.
Maybe it's a no whale day.
Yeah, sometimes you have no whale days.
That sunset.
Yeah, it'll keep going for another halfie.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So let's start back at the beginning. Nice. Were you born and raised in Vermont, or did you move to Vermont as a kid?
Yeah, no, I was born in Mobile, Alabama, and my dad was in the Air Force.
Wow.
And we moved when I was like a month old to Vacaville, California. You know where that's at? Off I-80, like by Sacramento.
Okay.
And lived there till I was in sixth grade, till I was 12, and then moved to Vermont from there.
So did you have a skateboard background then, like being from California?
Yeah, skated and BMX'd.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot. That's all we did kind of back in the day. A lot of BMX, a lot of, a little of both.
BMX has a really, huge part.
Yeah. It
plays a really large role in the history of snowboarding. Craig, BMX, mm-hmm. Fulton, his parents owned a BMX store. I mean,
yeah.
Brushy had one.
Yeah.
I saw he was selling it.
He had the Haro Master.
Yeah.
But my brother got me into that BMX. We used to race back in the day. I'd always suck. I think I was too small of a kid, but he'd bring back trophies.
Yeah.
He'd crush it.
So older or younger brother?
He's older, year and a half older.
Yeah, that's usually the way it goes with somebody that gets into like pro snowboarding, you know, any pro sports. You have an older brother you're always keeping up with.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you're the younger one.
He was always way better at BMX than me.
Yeah.
He'd crush it. We used to race in like Vallejo and Fairfield and all these other little towns around there.
Brad.
Yeah.
Big scene, right? Like California.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's tons of racetracks. And this is when I was like, this was probably like 85 or something like that.
Right. It was that era, right? Like, so California for Northern Ontario, for Sudbury, Ontario, was like, this is a big claim to make, but I think I got the first pair of Vans in Sudbury.
Yeah.
When I was traveling when I was 14.
Yeah.
I got back and Bobby Ricard, who was like, he had borrowed my bike while I was on a European vacation.
Yeah.
And just destroyed it.
Yeah.
It was toast. But he had also ordered a custom pair of Vans.
Uh-huh.
So he showed up a week later. So.
I did that before. I remember that catalog. You can jot down the things.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. The little slip or whatever it is.
Uh-huh. And I did that.
Yeah.
I got high tops with like pinstripes or something. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah, because you want to do something different.
Took like 2 months to get them, but I was so pumped.
It took so long.
It was awesome.
It was like a real leap of faith.
Yeah.
You had to send a check
for
the total or your credit card number. You just write it on the thing.
I think I mailed a check.
Unbelievable.
Probably some lawnmower money. I can't remember.
But that was a big deal having Vans. And I always thought I thought that was pedal marks.
Yeah, it's not?
No.
I always thought it was.
Skateboarding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Doug Palladini. Or coincidence, I can't remember.
I always thought they were for the pedals.
So did I. Huh. I always thought that, but...
Yeah, like fifth, sixth grade, you had to have the Vans in Cali.
Yeah.
Had to have them.
Was it post-checkerboard Vans, and then you had to have, like...
I can't remember. They were just like those kind of like neutral blue slip-ons, or if they... I think they were checkerboard. Maybe checkerboard came later, after Fast Times.
Yeah, I think Fast Times was the one with... Once Fast Times hit...
Yeah.
Checkerboard blew up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the very first.
Yeah, I think it was pre-checkerboard.
Oversaturation of Vans. I think they just sold them to anyone with balls.
Yeah.
Like any store. No exclusivity. Just like.
Pawn them.
Yeah.
Pawn the shit out of them.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. So moving from California to Vermont, you're probably the cool kids, right?
You thought you were until you went there and you don't really fit in so much because there's like the only other person, like when I first moved there, met Jeff in seventh grade and he was the only other dude there that BMX'd.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, no one else BMX'd. A lot of our bus route, we'd stop at the farms and pick up farmers, all the farmers' kids and all that. They've been up since like 4 a.m. milking cows and all that.
Wow.
It was culture shock, but a lot of cool people. A lot of cool people from...
And Brush was in your class at grade 7?
Grade 7. Yeah, he moved from Connecticut in fifth grade. So, yeah, he had a Haro and I had a Redline back then.
Nice.
Yeah, and we'd make launch ramps down our driveway, off the dock. I lost the photos, but sick.
You were talking about
learning tabletops.
Oh, that's so sick.
Yeah.
That was the main thing, was the tabletop.
Yeah.
That's the method of BMX,
totally.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I remember trying those forever and ever, getting pictures in your bike slightly angled,
Yeah, it would be the cross out. Can only get the cross out.
That's it.
No tabletop.
That's totally it. Need the cross out.
Mm-hmm.
So you continued riding bikes in Vermont.
Yeah.
Jumping into the water, doing all that stuff. When do you first see snowboarding?
Snowboarding. So the first time I saw snowboarding, I was still living in California. My mom would take me up skiing. And I can't remember which ski area it was, but, I remember, like, I must have been, like, 10, 11 years old. Someone was going down the lift just, like, ripping the side pal. I was like, wow, that's sick. Didn't know what the hell it was.
Yeah.
And didn't really even cross my mind till moving to Vermont and finally picking it up. But, yeah, moving to Vermont, the first 2 years, ski raced with my friend Todd McGowan, a couple other buddies, did like the, you know, Vermont had hockey teams and ski teams, not so many football teams and shit like that, you know?
Right.
So grew up skiing. We grew up skiing at this little ski area called Cochran's. It was like an Olympic family, and
nice.
Barbara Cochran, I think, won the gold back in like in the 70s or something.
Oh, but that's so awesome.
Her son was in this last Olympics. And I think he got a silver.
Come on.
Yeah, and the GS or downhill. I can't remember his name, something Cochran. But they had a ski area in back of their house.
Unreal.
Yeah, it was sick. It was a rope toe, T-bar and stuff like that. But yeah, so we did that for a couple years, then started snowboarding. I think 8th grade or 9th grade, like 87, 88, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about the same time I started. I think realistically my first board I got in 89.
Yeah. My first one was a cruiser.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
With or without the swallowtail?
No, it had the swallowtail. I think they all had the swallowtails, didn't they, the cruisers? I think the cruise was the one with the kicktail.
That had the kicktail.
Yeah.
That blocky kicktail.
I got my first board from Andy Coughlin at the boarding house.
Oh, wow. Really?
And it was actually his cruiser was the one that I don't have it anymore. Someone stole all my stuff.
Oh.
I lost so many boards and photos, but I'm pretty sure it was the one he won the U.S. Open on.
Come on.
Yeah, it would have been like such a collector's item. I'd love to have that on my wall.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, so.
So you rode that thing for.
Yeah, for a full season.
Was it like a 165 or something?
Yeah, it was huge and heavy, and it had the Fastech bindings.
Oh, wow.
You know, those clips.
Yep. Yeah.
Like two seat belt straps on your binding.
That's so dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, they're sketchy.
I guess. Then
with huge high backs that just wrapped around all the way to your shin.
Yeah, they were really race-centric at that point.
Yeah, they were.
Because that's pre... Mystery Air, Craig coming to the team.
And yeah, Mystery Air might have been like a year or two after that.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
I remember the Mystery Air. We used to hang out at the boarding house a lot.
Yeah.
And they had like a coffin set up made out of wood, and that's the Mystery Air was in there, supposedly.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it was like 5 months before, I can't wait to see it. And it was all like nailed up.
I can't believe it. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Because Andy was affiliated with Burton, right?
Yeah.
He started his own store, but he had worked for Jake.
Yeah, yeah. He was one of Jake's first employees. Then he was, you know, he was on the team forever.
Mm-hmm.
He would always win all the, he was a superstar back in Vermont back in the day.
You know, he was the one who dropped the rope.
Oh, really?
He and his brother went, dropped
him and Jack
and at the golf course or wherever, doing road laps.
Huh.
And they came back and said to Jake, you won't believe this. He dropped the rope.
I didn't know that.
We don't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, Andy kind of took us all under his wing early on in snowboarding. And he would rent buses and bring everybody up to the ski area and like set up, you know, racing was really heavy back then. So he'd set up gates and. We just run the course all night and provide transportation, and we'd go to contests with him. He'd put us up in hotels and all sorts of stuff. He was,
he's
super
like
generous.
The Ken Achenbach of Vermont.
Yeah, he's a badass.
Yeah, his own shop, and then and then bringing up the talent.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you guys ride for a B-side team? I remember seeing B-side stickers on somebody's board.
No, they were our nemesis.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
B-side is the other shop?
Yeah, B-side was the other shop in Burlington.
What was...
So it was always a little competition between like the B-side and the boarding house.
Boarding house.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
always a little bit of bitterness. But I always liked the B-side people. They're always cool, but I was a boarding house dude.
That's hard to believe, two shops in such a small little place. Dude.
Yeah, but totally.
I mean, with Burton being right there.
Yeah.
You need a Burton shop and then an everything else shop, essentially.
Yeah. Well, Burton wasn't there. They were in Manchester.
They were back still in Manchester?
Yeah.
When did they move to Burlington, do you know?
I don't know what year that was. I can't remember. But, I would just be guessing. I have no idea. I feel like it was after I got out of high school. Sometimes in the 90s, I think.
So those van trips to contests and stuff... Are you still in high school at that point?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Still in high school.
How did you do? You must have done all right.
Yeah, we did Green Mountain Series and New England Cup, and yeah, always top three, nice. Pretty much. Yeah, do really well in those ones.
Rad.
And yeah, a lot of people came out of those. Was, you know, Jason Ford, Noah Brandon, Todd Richards, Jeff, all sorts of people.
Yeah, the Green Mountain Series was like the feeder series mm-hmm. to like, you know, coming out to whatever was going on at. You know, Rack, right?
Yeah, totally.
Like that would be like the finals for the year or something. Nationals? Would they have nationals in Colorado?
Yeah, I can't. I don't know if the nationals like always changed around. I can't really remember. Mm-hmm. Never really did the nationals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know.
Did you travel out to other contests outside of like New England?
Well, yeah, but not until I started riding for Sims.
Okay.
But yeah.
How did you get on Sims?
Sims doing well in the New England Cup and Green Mountain Series.
Yeah.
Trevor Graves had a big part in that for sure. He was out there taking photos and documenting everything. And
epic.
I don't know who he talked to, but Sims was looking for some like freestyle riders, and it was picked up Todd Richards and myself and a couple other people too. I think Mark Sullivan. I can't remember who else.
So Sullivan was
Lisa Venceguerra.
Oh, wow, Lisa.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
She was an Eastie.
Yeah.
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 She got that pro model on Checker
Pick. Uh-huh, totally.
She was ripping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, she ripped. She won. She pretty much won all of her stuff back then.
Wasn't it crazy, yeah, that names yeah. of companies, like, mm-hmm. they would do, like, Smelly Tuna or Checker Pick.
Yeah, totally.
Whatever.
There's so many stupid names.
And you would get the boards, and you'd look, and you'd go, okay, yeah.
Well, couldn't do it.
You gotta paint it. Yeah, you were always on good brands.
Totally
yeah.
paint yeah. them over.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So what's the Sims program like? Like, do you remember what board you got from Sims?
Yeah, the contract was like for six boards a year, then photo incentives and all that. Todd tells this story in his book, I think, but
yeah.
Todd ordered like one board. And then he calls me when he gets in. He's like, what'd you get? And then I listed off, like, I got all six at once. Just, like, stacks of clothes.
Yeah.
Because they were on, like, my Vision Streetwear back then. I just got, like, came back from high school one day, and there was, like, 10 boxes of shit at my house.
Oh, my God.
Todd only ordered one board.
Who was the team manager at that point?
Gosh, okay. So that was Mickey Keller. Who's the guy that started Solomon?
Oh, Brad Stewart.
Brad Stewart. Yeah. Yeah, Brad.
So he's just shipping out boxes.
Yeah, Brad. Yeah, Brad. It's a cool dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the lost episode. I recorded one with him.
Uh-huh.
It's perfect. It's epic.
I
edited it, and then my computer froze.
Uh-huh.
And I was so mad. I just was like,
yeah.
On to the next episode.
Yeah.
So it's stuck somewhere on the computer.
Yeah. But yeah,
he was basically running Sims at that point.
Like, yeah, I think so.
Like Tom was off in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
He'd taken a lump sum paycheck basically for the rights to the name.
Yeah, I think he might have been licensing it out. I don't really remember.
Yeah, Brad says, oh yeah, Tom would come down in November, December
yeah.
sometimes with drawings on napkins or like big pieces of paper. Uh-huh. Like, this is what we got to build.
Yeah.
And Brad would be like, dude, we had to order boards like last February. There's no yeah. way we're making this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been the ultimate team to be up on out west.
Yeah.
Because everybody's Burton.
But it,
and a couple of people...
Yeah.
You know what's up.
Mm-hmm. Sims. Yeah, yeah. It was pretty. Yeah. It was. You're definitely kind of an outcast there on the Sims team, full of everyone doing riding Burton, you know?
But then at the same time, it's like snowboarding is so young and so mm-hmm. new. It's like just being a snowboarder, you're
yeah.
part of the group.
Yeah. Right. It was funny. Like all of our stuff back then said Team Sims down the leg, down the, you know?
Yeah.
And we showed up. Yeah. Todd and I, they flew us out to, the Vision Pro
right.
in Squaw Valley.
Wow.
And Todd and I showed up with all of our team stuff on. We saw like Roach and Palmer didn't have any of that stuff, so we just shedded our shit.
That's so dope. Yeah, because it's like wearing your own t-shirt or something. Yeah. Like, you don't want
to
wear your
We were like head to toe, purple and black jumpsuit.
So stoked. All right, here we are.
So stoked.
And then you see the other guys on the team, and you're like, okay, we cannot look like
We really are from the East Coast.
So your crew... Like, did you ride with Todd a lot of the time?
Yeah. Todd and I, we rode tons. We hung out a bunch back probably like 2 or 3 years in a row. That was kind of my riding buddy.
Yeah,
he's a funny dude.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's still probably the most involved guy in snowboarding from mm-hmm. that era still.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun watching his live videos from the Olympics. And
yeah.
Because I'm in Canada, I don't get his announcing.
Uh-huh. Oh, he crushed it on the Olympics.
Yeah, of course.
There are some judging errors, and he, called everyone out. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our guy got that, too. Craig McMorris, Mark's brother's mm-hmm. one of our announcers. And he's like, ooh, that boot grab's not going to cost him. And then he won the gold. And he's like, oh, I don't know if the judges saw that boot grab.
Yeah, that's funny.
So you've got Todd in your group. How often are you riding with Brush?
Whenever he's in town. By then he was kind of off and gone, but quite a bit though. He wasn't really doing New England Cups so much anymore then, he's out doing the Pro Tour.
Mm-hmm. He was the first to kind of leave and make it big as a mm-hmm. as a pro rider.
Yeah, he cut out kind of early. It was like he went to Chris Carroll's snowboard camp.
Yeah.
It was just in high school, he's going to a snowboard camp, came back, all of a sudden he was sponsored by Burton. And the next week he was like on the Pro Tour. It seemed like it just happened so fast.
Yeah, Jacoby talked about getting on the team, signing the contract, and they sent him tickets to fly to Austria for summer riding on the glacier.
Yeah.
And then Craig was there.
Yeah.
He was like, whoa, you're on this team too?
Really?
Jacoby had been on Sims mm-hmm. when Craig was on Sims. Yeah, like everyone was on Sims.
Yeah.
Like, so when you would go out to, when you went out to that contest, like, the team is just everybody. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you go from where Burton is everything to like,
oh, yeah. It was
Sims country.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Complete opposite.
What was that? Like, was that your first trip outside of, New England for snowboarding, or had you?
I think it was. Yeah. I think it was. Yeah. It was amazing. There was like soft snow. You can launch off of everything. East Coast is just ice, so you just send it.
Yes.
No idea how to land in soft snow, but it didn't matter. It was like land, like it was just like everything was soft.
Rad.
East Coast is just like, oh man, ice sheets.
It's a great place to be from because even the worst conditions out west mm-hmm. are so good.
Totally. Yeah, gets you really good on your, makes you learn how to turn really quick.
Yeah, we were talking about how in the east powder was like ice scraped to the side and then powder out west you're like, well, yeah, this sucks. I don't know how to do this at all.
Yeah, it's a different story. For sure. I remember doing a contest in New York, and it was like there wasn't even snow. It was just like 3 inches of ice, and you could see the grass and rocks and shit below the ice, like clear ice.
That is nasty.
Yeah. We did a contest there. I couldn't believe it. It was so dangerous.
Yeah, I remember blue ice. Mm-hmm. Like actually looking at the hill and going.
Oh yeah, no, we always have blue ice. This was like clear ice cube ice, like out of your freezer. I don't even know how it was made. Never seen anything like it.
It was so sketchy. Yeah.
So sketchy.
So on the contest scene, where are you placing like your top three, you're saying? Like so is Todd a lot of the time, I'd imagine.
No, Todd pretty much won them all. The only time I'd beat Todd is if he crashed. Todd would win every single one.
Because he had a vert ramp or something like that.
He's such a good skater.
He was also dedicated and trying.
And he's got a lot of natural talent too. There's a couple people that I've seen snowboard that has a lot of natural talent. It's Jeff for sure. Todd is definitely, for people from the East Coast, I think just those two people.
Yeah.
Like where it seemed like they really didn't even have to try. They want to do a trick, they're just going to do it.
Yeah.
When it's like me, I've got to do it like 100 times and I probably still can't even do it.
Same.
You know? Yeah. Try over and over and over.
Yeah, that's what Blaze Rosenthal was talking about. He would craft his parts by just trying the trick over and over.
Yeah.
Until he got it perfect.
Yeah.
But I mean, his parts are insane too. Mm-hmm. So. think there's a bit of self-deprecation there. Obviously, you were really good. You had a great career as a snowboarder.
Yeah.
How long did you do it for?
I think, you know.
15 years or something?
Yeah, till 98, maybe. I broke my ribs.
Oof.
At a contest in Aspen, like over-rotated and just had to go to the ambulance out and everything. Thought I had internal bleeding, but I couldn't snowboard for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, I did a contest in South Korea.
Wow.
After that, maybe like 6 months later, and it was like my first day riding, and it just hurt so much. Still did good. I think I got like third or fourth in one. And that was like my last one.
Yeah.
And then, but it's still like, man, I really had to push through it. It really, really hurt.
Oh man, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's a bad injury.
You know, it sucks.
Can't sneeze, and I couldn't, cough, all that stuff is the worst.
I couldn't even get out of bed for like a month, I think.
Oh God.
It was so much pain. I mean, I didn't get x-rays, but maybe I separated them or something. I have no idea.
Yeah. And they could have just broke and then
healed back together. Who knows? Yeah, but that never really came back after that one. That was tough.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And you were on liquid at that point, or were you on?
Yeah, I was on liquid then.
So walk me through the Sims years to getting to liquid. Like, how does that offer come up on the table?
I do pretty well in the U.S. Open, just because I would always ride that half pipe. And they were just looking for a half pipe dude on liquid, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I was really good friends with Dale and Nate and Rowan and all those dudes, Russell, Jason, and
how were you friends with all those guys? Well, they're all Easties.
No, they're
except Dale and Rowan.
Yeah, well, Russell and Jason are East Coast dudes, but the Dale and Rowan are Midwest. But I became good friends with them. I met those guys in Mount Hood, and just one summer. And after that summer, we moved to Breck together, and just always kind of been pretty tight. We'd always hang out.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, that's rad.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, moving from. So when did you move from Vermont out to anywhere?
That's hard because, like, doing all the contests and stuff, you're always gone. So I don't even really feel like I lived anywhere for a long time.
Right.
But Ride had a house in Vail.
Yeah.
Maybe in like 95, 96, and lived there for a bit. Would live in Mount Hood in the summers, and then moved to the Seattle area maybe like 96, 97, maybe something like that.
Right at the thick of, like, the Ride thing.
Yeah.
How early are you on the Ride team from when it starts?
So I guess maybe the next generation, I would say.
Yeah. So, like, Jason and Russell and Jake
have
boards. I think Jason has them the first year, which would probably be 94 or 95.
Uh-huh. With that series.
Yeah. And then the RJ comes out. There's a Ford and an RJ 1 year. Could be that same year. And then there's the series with the Jason Ford.
Yeah.
The Russell.
Yeah.
Blattner has one. Rayburg has one.
Yeah. They were in Redmond, Washington at that time when all that stuff came out.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I started riding for Liquid, they were making like the Timeless boards, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe the year before that.
Yeah. That was Russell's brainchild, I believe.
Timeless?
Yeah, he was like, let's go away from pro models. Like, let's do, like, cool series.
Uh-huh.
I think he's pretty tight with Terrier, so.
Yeah.
The Balance series comes out around that same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about being with Terrier and Brushy up in Whistler.
Uh-huh.
But, that would have been amazing to live up there at that time.
Yeah. I think maybe, like, spend, like, it was short period, maybe like 2 months in the summer, month and a half. I kind of bailed early and went to Hood.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
What a place, hey?
Whistler's awesome.
What a time.
Yeah, it was incredible. Met a lot of your Vancouver buddies there too. I like that whole Canadian crew.
Oh yeah. There's good stuff going on up there. Who would you have hung out with up there?
Nick's, Mark Castengay.
Oh wow. Royalty.
Kevin Young a little bit.
Yep.
There's just a whole crew up there. Gosh,
Kevin's really fun to ride with, hey?
Oh, yeah. He's so good.
Fast and smooth. And
yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've only ridden with him once or twice, but it leaves an impression.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wow, that's what a pro is.
Yeah.
Right there.
It's crazy. Like, do you ride a Black Home Whistler a lot?
Not much anymore. I did a lot when I first moved out, because that was like the pedigree, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just got addicted to the little Vancouver scene.
I went up there maybe like 3 or 4 seasons ago and went out with Sheen and Nyx. Saw Wes. But they were all riding in a big group and they ride so fast. So fast. Yeah,
fast.
Totally.
Yeah.
You got to keep your speed through a lot of the cat tracks because they're all cat track hits.
Yep.
They're taking me down like their little hit run, and it's like, it's the longest run that I've done probably ever. And you're going like 90.
Yeah.
But they ride so freaking fast.
Yeah. So I became a kind of weekend Whistler guy.
Is it hard to get up there?
At Baker was better. Like, you just go down to Baker, it's more chill.
Is it about the same drive?
It's the same.
Yeah,
it's
I'd go to Baker.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, we would go early season to Baker, like Thanksgiving time, and get a house there. Ride would get us a place there to kind of like get our legs going. It was so much fun. I don't know Baker all that well. Yeah. I mostly ride Alpental, kind of up I-90 right out of Seattle, which is amazing too. But their snow level always hovers around pow or rain.
Yeah, that's
the downside of that place.
Yeah, that's the same with Vancouver. Yeah,
but man, it's like that place is so much fun. They all their out of bounds stuff is patrolled, so they'll go and blast it in the morning. Everybody, like if there's a pow day, everyone will go up there like eight in the morning, wait in line, and they don't open up anything till 11. So I can sleep until like 10, cruise up, everyone's gone by 12, and just do laps of just like the sickest terrain.
Oh, that's the best.
It's all chutes and little cliffs and just real technical pow riding. It's super fun.
That's fun.
It's like my favorite mountain.
Yeah, so your competitive days, you're competing in half pipe, right?
Yeah.
Like, so how do you join the pro tour and do all that stuff?
Yeah, I did the World Cup for a little bit and the US tour.
Yeah.
Never really crushed it. Top 10, you know, had top 10s quite a few times, but never really podiumed or anything.
You had that back cover on that Simsport early on. That was a nice one, hey?
Yeah, that was from Breckenridge back in the day. Oh, and I had the Sims suit on. I didn't know to take it off.
Nice. It was that early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that shot.
That was the black and purple jumpsuit.
That's amazing, dude. Amazing.
Yeah, that was a surprise. I didn't realize I was getting that till it came out.
Who shot that?
Hosnick.
Oh, sick.
Justin. Yeah.
Yeah, that's epic.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, Justin was pretty prolific for a photographer out of Colorado at that time.
Yeah, I didn't shoot with him that much, but yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah, it's always fun when the Transworld guy shows up and then epic shot. Like, oh
yeah.
God.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we do a lot of night shoots back in the day with Trevor.
Yeah.
And Trevor was just like a photographer's hero back in the day. Took such good photos.
Unbelievable.
He'd bring up generators up to Stratton at night and do a lot of night shoots.
Yeah.
He's got tons of incredible night photos.
Yeah, those Russell shots at night are all him.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of a bunch of Trevor Graves shots that
are, yeah, the Russell shot's epic.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
Totally.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
So how does the contract change from year to year? Let's go through it with Sims. Like, you get 6 boards.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of boards.
Yep.
And you get boxes of clothing.
Yeah.
Do you wind up just keeping everything for yourself, or you sell stuff to make money to go on trips?
You know, you'd sell some stuff, but I collected a lot of the stuff too. It all disappeared. I don't know where it went, but I was keeping, I had, you know, all the Palmer boards and the Slaznicks and, you know, I had all those like in plastic, just kind of kept.
No.
Yeah.
And somebody stole them or something?
You know, my parents moved and they just kind of disappeared.
Could have been a garage sale thing.
Who knows? Probably not. Who knows what happened?
Yeah.
Maybe they're still in boxes there. I always look, hoping I'm going to find them.
Yeah.
It was mostly a lot of photos, too, like really good old photos.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about footage you've got here. You guys have, what age are you?
Probably 21 to 23.
Yeah.
Something like that. Just road trip, not too much snowboarding, just like road trip antics.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, too fun. Too fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, okay, so the Sims contract goes from 6 boards to...
So the next year is pretty much unlimited. You get whatever you want. And then travel budget, little salary and stuff like that.
Already? So this is, like, just tail end of high school, or...
No, you know, what was it? probably a year after high school, I think.
Yeah.
Because, let's see, I moved to Breck, and, like, I graduated in 90, moved to Breck after that, and was riding Sims probably till 92, 93.
Yeah. That's a great time in snowboarding.
Totally. And then liquid the rest of the time.
Yeah, you're getting...
94 to 98 or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Makes sense. 94, they would have put up... yeah, I remember the first year of liquid, it was really simple stuff.
Yeah.
But then it got a little more complex over the years. It kind of grew into like a full sideline of ride.
Yeah.
And then they just crushed it. Killed it.
That first trip to the Vision Pro thing was pretty crazy. Like, when I remember going to dinner, and it was like me and Todd. No one knew who Todd was then. It was me and Todd. I think Tom Sims was there, Terry Kidwell, Palmer, Slaznik, Mark Gonzalez, Nathan Fletcher, Kristen Fletcher, and then just me and Todd. I was like, what the fuck are we doing here?
And what is the dinner like? Is it like Tom's footing the bill for everybody?
Yeah, totally.
And it's
just
like,
a big
order whatever you want,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
Drink some beers and hang out.
Yeah. Just like, yeah.
And just talking, like, no team strategize or anything.
No, just no idea why I'm even in that room, you know? Just like, holy shit.
That's full on.
Yeah.
Full on.
Yeah, it was incredible.
That's amazing.
And then, yeah, then, like, that same trip, too, I remember being with, like, not Damien, who's the other dude?
Dana and Nicholson?
Yeah, Dana Nicholson. Yeah. But it was Dana and maybe Damien was there, too. I remember Brandy being in the car.
Oh, wow.
And, like, Dana's girlfriend, they had, like, a Bronco and took us off-road, and I thought, like, he was going, like, 90 through the woods and catching air. I thought we were going to die. It was crazy.
And that's just a, like, all right, like, hop in the car after the contest or whatever.
We're in Cali.
Yeah.
We're doing Cali stuff.
Cali stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those Krusty Demons of Dirt movies.
So gnarly.
Yeah.
Like, when they were, yeah. That's the first time I've seen people, like, go really big on dirt bikes, and it was like, these are snowboard dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Blew me away.
Creatures of Habit, all that stuff. They always do those skits. People get hurt.
Jeez. Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, they take some beatings, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Man, complete beatings.
Yeah, that would be bad. Yeah, because Damien quit in like 92 or something. That would have been pretty early.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was that first trip?
Yeah, and I remember Damien got a... yeah, and he, dude, blew me away. He wasn't really even a half pipe rider, and he was going like three times as big as everybody in the pipe. There's a photo from it somewhere.
Yeah.
Going like 12 feet out of a 4 foot pipe with his hard boots.
That's the craziest thing.
Yeah.
And somehow blew me away. He just had a long enough board that he could grab his board with his hard boots.
Yeah.
Or he would cut the boots all up so they were really soft.
Grab it and tweak it.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing. Fun. Yeah, that was a pretty epic trip.
And so then, did you do any other Sims trips before kind of moving to Colorado out of high school?
Yeah, we did other Sims trips too. Like, I think we did a photo shoot in Whistler.
Oh, you were at that one?
Uh-huh.
Was that the one with Palmer doing the one-foot stuff?
Could have been. I feel like that shot was like in the summertime. This is more like springtime.
Mm. Yeah, that is a summer shot.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, because there was a trip that Kevin Young talks about where he was...
That was probably the one.
Yeah, he was... Malcolm Norman was the team manager for you guys at that point?
Yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah, so then... Yeah. Kevin talks about, like...
And
he was going to be on
Team
Sims.
And I remember I rode with Alan Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Did photos with Alan.
Oh, rad. Yeah, that's epic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he would have been just a little kid at that point, almost. Mm-hmm. Eh?
Yeah, I'm not sure how old he is, but yeah. Yeah, I did a photo shoot with him. They split us off in like pairs.
Nice.
And Alan and I went together.
Oh, he's the best.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Yeah. Yeah, what were you guys... Oh, were you guys riding pipe, probably, right?
No, you're riding... He was showing me all the side hits.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah,
totally. Because he's a pipe rider guy, too,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times in Whistler, there's no... like. The pipe isn't going.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a pipe then.
It just gets filled in and they don't.
But there's tons of side hits.
Yeah, yeah.
Tons of jumps.
And then you guys shot photos and stuff.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And filmed? Would there be filmers on those trips?
I don't remember anyone filming. I just remember photos. I remember they broke us off in groups.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember too much from that trip.
That's super sick, though.
Yeah.
Like, and your parents pretty supportive of you traveling around? And...
Oh, yeah. My dad was super into it. He go to all my contests.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he'd always go to them all.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you kind of need that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Todd had that, too, right?
Yeah. His parents were pretty supportive. His dad was always going to the contests.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Unreal.
Yeah, it was good times.
So then how does the liquid thing happen? Does somebody reach out to you and say, like, oh, yeah, you were talking about it, Rowan and all the friends on the team?
Yeah, I think maybe Stephanie Pogue might have, like, asked me, or Jason had a lot to do with it, probably, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hanging out with those guys a lot then, too.
Yeah.
With Tim and Steph and all them.
And was your contract pretty good? Because it was... I mean, it was a secondary brand for Rye, but they were paying their team really well at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for where I was in my snowboarding, it was definitely perfect, you know?
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't Dale, you know?
right.
But no, unlimited travel budget. They pay they pretty much pay for your whole life.
Yeah.
Plus, you get a little small salary. They give you houses, snowmobiles, like whatever you wanted. Oh, everything was, your whole year was paid for.
And then, was there mandatory footage that you had to get, or was it just?
No, not at all. Yeah. They just kind of let you do your thing. We all traveled around together. It's like a big family. Not only the riders, but all the employees too. Like everyone that worked at the Preston factory, we'd all like, because we when I moved to Seattle in 96, it wasn't just me. It was me and Dale and Pat A and Shinaki and Russell, and the whole team pretty much moved there.
So did you guys share a house or did
you? Yeah, we moved up to Lake Stevens.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sick.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have just
Lake Stevens is a little off, little town, kind of by Stevens Pass.
Yeah.
It was the bottom of Stevens Pass. Yeah, so we moved there, and we were just going to design. We were going to help design boards and clothes and stuff. And a lot of us just ended up staying there. I ended up staying there for over 20 years. Dale stayed there for, God, probably 10, 15. I have no idea. Pat stayed for a long time. Pat A.
Yeah. I think Russell's still pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
His place is nice. He's on the lake still.
Yeah, I haven't been over there, but I've seen the photos.
Yeah, it's super good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chad Schnacki.
Uh-huh.
He just hit it and quit it, really, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Like, he was there for like 94, 95, was really up and coming.
Yeah, we all kind of got cut at the same time.
What year would that be?
I don't know. I'd have to check the Dow Jones, see when they went public. I have no idea. I have to ask Dow.
Did you get some stock or anything like that when they... And did you hang on to it or sell it when it was hot or anything?
I have no idea what happened to it.
You don't know. You've got like some shares and rides somewhere.
They could be like floating around. I don't know. Like, they were stock options. I don't even know how that works, but...
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I had a couple thousand shares or whatever, then... Yeah. I remember Jim Hale, he sold his and bought a truck. And we were like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Don't do that. It's going to be worth so much loot. And he's like the only one that made out with anything. I think everyone's disappeared.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it went up to 40, then it cut, split in half. It was 75 at some point.
Yeah.
So it would have been $75,000 if it was.
And then, you know, K2 bought Ride, and then that's when it just kind of, I guess it disappears. I have no idea. I'll give you a commission if you find it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, those days were the best days. Right?
Yeah.
So you guys operated as a kind of pseudo design team as well as like, you know, riding out there, getting projects, getting photos, doing all the stuff.
Uh-huh.
What did that look like? Like, it wasn't like a 9-to-5 type thing.
No, but we'd end up going to the offices a lot when we were around. We'd always go in there and help design stuff or do whatever, you know. But yeah, a lot of the riders had, the riders pretty much designed all the stuff in there. I mean, there was definitely other people doing like... There was tons of people designing stuff. I shouldn't say that, but we had our hand in it quite a bit.
Yeah. I met Mike Stisco.
Yeah, Sticks.
Integral in that?
Yeah, yeah. I think he was more into marketing, but yeah, for sure. See Sticks every day.
Yeah, he was doing graphics or something mm-hmm. when I met him in 2000. I think he was art directing or something.
Yeah, he lives in Issaquad. I think he's doing a barbecue company now. He's a cool dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw the barbecue company thing.
Yeah.
He was one of the best.
Yeah.
I worked for Ride.
Oh, did you?
2000 to 2000. Yeah, 5 months or something out east.
Really?
At the Ride Canada headquarters.
Uh-huh.
But it was in Toronto. Toronto sucks.
Yeah.
So I just peaced out on it.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. The size of the company,
mm-hmm.
like the breadth of K2 as a umbrella at that point, it was like overwhelming.
I don't know that world really.
Yeah, they had like,
I just knew the Ride world.
Yeah, they had fishing rods and
fishing rods,
weird shit.
Backpacks.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And shoes and everything. But the Ride.
No, they would take us. So, yeah, Tim and Steph were like really, really kind people.
Mm-hmm.
And they take us all over and just like treat us really well. And take us on all these trips that we didn't really even need to be on.
Right. I think it was like not just snowboarding trips, like surf trips.
Surf trips or just like business trips too. Like I went with Tim. I forget who was with me, but it might have been me and Dale. But we went down to is it the Thermal Factory?
Yeah,
I remember we went down there. Yeah, we went down there to like buy their factory, and they were like, "You guys want to go?" I wasn't a part of it. You're just there to like. Go. They're just like, yeah, let's go. They just bring you.
Good. That was a big change in boards.
Yeah, the capped edge.
Yeah, because they went from like Pele boards, regular.
Yeah, the really heavy.
Yeah.
Stiff.
To like these like snappy like California made things.
Yeah, I think it was all about the capped edge back then when they bought that factory.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, and they would bring us to all their like sales meetings and all that stuff. But they were we're here in Cabo, but I remember coming down here for their sales meeting that was on a cruise ship. That's a whole different story. Like, I forget who it was, but man, the captain came on the speaker on the ship and told us he was going to turn the boat around because of us, and bring us back and drop us off.
Because
we were just like, there was like 40 or 50 of us just like hot right out of the gate. I can't even remember what we were doing. But he wanted us off the ship.
So it was a lifestyle.
Like yeah.
Ride, being on the Ride team was like a lifestyle.
Yeah, everyone worked hard, partied hard kind of thing, you know?
I guess it's kind of the same on Sims too, right? Like Sims is pretty loose when you're on there.
You know, no. Well, I think I might have missed that era in Sims. I think that was probably before.
Mm-hmm.
I never really got to experience it when Tom actually had control over the whole thing, so I have no idea. But with Sims, it seemed a bit more like, I don't know, more businessy kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And not so much of a family, like Ride and Liquid were, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should talk about the Liquid thing, because that was... So when do you first get pitched on Liquid?
Let's see. Maybe 94, maybe?
Yeah.
It was at the U.S. Open, I remember. I did pretty well at the Open.
Yeah.
And... yeah, they asked me if they told me they were coming out with a new brand, like a little price point brand, you know, needed a couple people to ride for them. And I was already hanging out with these guys all the time. So it seemed like the perfect thing to do.
Did they do head to toe or anything like that? Like, cause they had Ride clothing or?
No, I rode for like Bamboo Curtain for a while.
Nice. I don't know anything about Bamboo Curtain.
Yeah, it was mostly like, I was a half pipe dude, but they were like extreme gear, you know, but
yeah.
I met Gus, who owned it in Tahoe. I think I was just there, like, I can't remember how I met him, but met him in Tahoe and kind of stayed in touch. And also Steve, I was friends with Steve Blakely back in the day, and he rode for him.
Okay.
Just kind of like, hey, you want to ride for Bamboo Curtain? I was like, sure, you know, but it wasn't half pipe gear.
No.
It was like Alaska, you know, super thick clothing.
Awesome.
So did that for a while, but then Ride switched me out to Capel. Which was a little better, better fit.
So when you're first on Liquid, there is no Capel. But once Capel happens, you get an offer.
Yeah, I think maybe like a year or two after, maybe after Capel started. I think.
Sick.
Yeah.
And so then, does that bump you're making more money now, and there's more incentives, or
that was a contract renewal?
Yeah.
So then I started riding for like. Preston Boots and Capel and Liquid and their whole show, you know?
Sick, yeah.
Except for the goggles.
Who were your goggle guys?
I don't even know if I had any goggle guys. I can't remember. I know I rode for like Bowl A back, like yeah. when I was doing New England Cup and all
nice.
That stuff.
Nice.
And then, Brush started a goggle company.
Yeah, what was it called?
Cirque.
Nice.
So I was sporting Cirque gear then. That's so what sick. It was. Yeah.
Oh, that's epic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so like I was surprised to hear, you know, that the team was not super psyched on Brush coming on just because he was taking a budget, like mm-hmm. a lot of budget.
Yeah.
I think that was like $1 million contract or something.
Yeah, it was the first $1 million contract.
Unfriggin' believable, yeah. right?
Yeah.
And he came on and he's pretty low-key. Like,
yeah, he was pretty low-key for sure.
Yeah. You speculated that the ride might have been thinking, oh, this guy might win the Olympics.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, look into it. He hasn't been competing that heavily.
Yeah,
right?
he was kind of over it by then, I think.
I think so, too.
But yeah. then you look back at his shots and he's got, like, some really good shots. Half-pipe shots and ride.
Epic,
like, all those Crail shots and all that stuff.
Yeah, really boosting. Mm-hmm. Like, that next level, when half pipes went to like 18 foot or whatever.
Yeah, but at the end, like, his budget really didn't have anything to do with like a lot of the team riders bouncing. It was like K2 bottom and they just you're out.
Yeah, Tim and Stephanie, from what I understand, were like that, like,
yeah,
rider side of things.
Yeah, they were.
And then you got Salter on the other side just being the money guy going, let's make bikes and scooters and
totally
that. yeah. So then when K2 buys them, it's like,
oh, it just won. Yeah, and it just changed in a second.
Yeah, like I said, I worked there in 2000.
Uh-huh.
I think K2 probably bought him in 99, and at that point, Liquid and 5150.
Yeah, I forgot about 5150.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, who was on the 5150 team?
Ranquit.
Yeah, and Rocket was on Liquid.
Liquid.
And Jim Moran.
Jim Moran was on Liquid. Ben Ashburner.
Oh, yeah, Ashburn.
Jim Hale.
Oh, yeah. It was a pretty big team.
Yeah.
Legit guys mm-hmm. on that team.
Yeah, and we'd all travel with the ride dudes. We'd all travel together.
So then it was like a massive team. Right. So, like, would you guys do, you know, like, okay, we got enough ride shots off this feature, get Liquid guys on it or what?
No. It was just everyone's just riding.
It's just fun.
Yeah. There was nothing like that. There's no like structure to your photo shoot or anything like that.
Nothing.
No, you just go session, set up the camera, build a jump, hurl yourself. Hopefully you don't like scorpion.
Seems like the best possible team to be on.
I think so.
Yeah.
I would think so back then for sure.
Because it was like a Burton level
mm-hmm.
company.
Yeah.
But it just didn't seem to have that Burton level expectations.
You know, there wasn't.
Like, hey, if you don't get third at this contest, we're going to cut your contract or you're off the team.
They'd rather us go, like, cause some mayhem and not wake up for the contest. They didn't care if we did contests.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, nobody did contests.
Yeah.
I just did contests. I had fun doing contests, so I could do them. I didn't have to do them.
Yeah, but what are some of the highlights when you look back? What stands out as, like...
I think the most fun that I had on a trip was probably Island Lake Lodge. We went there and did a photo shoot for like a week, and it was POW the whole time. Craig was there, actually. And I skied before. Right, Scott there. Schmidt was there. I thought that was kind of cool. Remember that dude?
Yeah, of course.
I got to go. The owner brought us up in the cat at night, full moon, and got to go with Scott and Craig and Jason, and it was sick. Did a couple runs like full moon through the trees.
Come on.
Yeah, it was amazing.
At Island Lake Lodge.
Yeah. And then I think our trip was maybe a week, 10 days or something like that. Then at the end, this is how cool the Pogues were. At the end, they were like, trip's over. Whoever wants to stay, we'll pay for it. And I stayed like an extra week. And no cameras, just stayed and rode POW. It was amazing.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, of course, it's like trip of a lifetime.
Totally. It was a trip of a lifetime. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was the most fun snowboarding I've ever had, I think. Like, out at this lodge, nothing's out there. And just every day was POW. Big jumps.
And riding with Craig. Was Craig guiding, or was he just up there the week that you guys were there?
He was up there the week we were there. We didn't ride with him, really. Mm-hmm. He was kind of doing his own thing. And he might have just came for a couple days. I can't really remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably shooting photos when it's good.
Well, he owned part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I know he was there for a couple of days.
Dude, that week after, just like getting up every day, getting in the cat,
mm-hmm.
riding those runs. A couple of resets, I'd imagine, in there too, like new snow, fresh snow.
Yeah, totally. There's tons of resets. I think every night there was a reset. Then it was Bluebird. Oh. It was amazing.
Oh.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, so that was a fun trip. yeah, I remember doing a trip with Jeff and Rankwit. This was like when they brought Jeff on and there's 5150 and all that. Mike, so funny. Like, those guys are superstars and I'm like B level. And he's like, are you our escort? Just give me shit the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. That's he operates in that space constantly.
Huh? Totally.
Yeah.
But man, he's famous in Japan. I'll tell you, like, people come out of, I remember being like, wherever that little district is where they sell a lot of electronics, and there's like a couple different people like ran out of the store. So, my guy quit.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy
just like shit. In Tokyo.
Yeah. That's
no
so
snow
sad.
Around. They're into it. They were into it back then.
So you got to ride PAL in Japan.
Yeah.
Before it was like busy.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had, I remember doing a World Cup there, and it was a POW day. And back then, I don't know if it's the same, but the Japanese wouldn't ride in the trees because they thought they say their spirits back there, right?
Right.
And we were just like killing the POW in the trees all day long. Oh, it was amazing. Man. And there was a group, I remember there was a group of like 15 or 20 of us cruising through the trees, and we ran into a big boar with like horns, just like snorting, and
no.
We all stopped and freaked out. It was crazy.
That's unreal.
Yeah. Japan's a fun place.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, so that whole time on the ride team, you're traveling wherever the snow's good.
Yep.
Wherever people want to go to.
Yep, I was either doing contests or going doing photo shoots or whatever. But they kept our schedule really full.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Bunch of European stuff as well, or just mostly North American?
You know, I didn't really do any of the European stuff. I did European stuff with Sims before then, but I don't remember doing any with Ride. It was mostly Japan,
yep.
New Zealand we'd go to, and then all of the States for sure.
Oh,
Argentina. I remember doing an Argentina trip with them. We almost died.
How so?
We were flying from, remember that movie Alive?
Yes.
Where the plane crashes and they eat each other?
Yes.
We were doing that same flight from, I think it was Santiago to Mendoza, like over the Andes, right? And the stewardesses before were kind of making fun of the trip, calling it the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
This is the Hail Mary trip. And there's like this certain little vibe before we even got on the plane.
Yeah.
But no big deal. My dad's a pilot. Like, I love flying. Yeah. Took off and it was like complete bluebird. No problems. And all of a sudden it's like turbulence like you've never seen before. The wings start like flapping like a bird. Like, I was looking out the window just waiting for one to snap off. It's 1 second you'd be level, next second you'd be like totally almost upside down looking at the ground. All the tray tables flew down. It was during like beverage service. The stewardess flew up, hit her head on the ceiling, came down and snapped her ankle in half.
Oh.
All the oxygen mass down. I swear, I was just waiting for the wing to fly off. And then, like, it's pretty crazy because you could tell people's different personalities when that happened. Like, Dale was like, Jesus, Mary, save my soul, like, totally praying. And he's not, like, he's not churchy at all.
Yeah.
And then Jack, and I think it was Jack or Nate or Jack, Jack Coughlin and Nate Kohler, like, looking back at me because they know I was in airplanes and shit like that. And they're just like, they're totally laughing. Other people are crying tears, people praying, just like all these different things going on when everyone thinks they're about to die. And then it was crazy.
And we made through it.
Yeah, we made through it, but it lasted for like 10, 15 minutes of just like sheer horror.
Oh,
and I couldn't fly. Like, even to this day, 20, 25 years later, like whenever I hit turbulence, I have to kind of like pause.
Yeah.
And just kind of like, oh shit, is it going to happen again?
That's so gnarly.
Yeah, we landed though, and the ambulance met us. They didn't make it to the gate. Pilot came out. He was like head to toe sweat.
Yeah.
It was
stressed.
It was sketchy. I thought the wing was going to fly off.
That's super scary.
It was so scary.
Yeah, we had a little turbulence on the way over here.
I couldn't fly for a while after that. Yeah. I did fly.
Yeah.
But it was hard for me to do it.
But it was stressful.
For like probably 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And before snowboarding, I was going to be a pilot. Like went to flight school.
Yeah.
Right out of high school. You know, was always into planes and whew, took it out of me. Sketchy.
Yeah, that's gnarly.
Yeah. So sketchy.
Yeah, that's like no more going down to Chile and Argentina after that even.
No.
Forget it.
Sketchy. I'd probably do it again, but.
Yeah. Years later. 25 years later.
Yeah.
Sick.
Totally.
Do you want to talk about this place? About
sure.
This place?
Yeah.
How did the seed of this get planted?
Gosh, so basically we bought a place in Cerritos in 2014. We've been coming down maybe 3 or 4 times a year. Just every time, each time we came down, we liked it a little bit more and more.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was doing yoga retreats down here, and we were shopping for a lot to maybe build a house on someday. Like, you know, who knows, 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Then we found out the yoga retreat center that we were doing the retreats at before was for sale. So we're like, shit, maybe we should just buy that and move down.
Right.
Just like, maybe we can do it.
Yeah.
And try to buy that. It didn't end up going through. And then from there, we were just kind of paused for a second, decided if we still wanted to do this. Is it a pipe dream? They were like, screw it, let's do it. Started shopping for lots. Found this one that we really loved, and just went through all the permitting process and the planning and all that stuff and built it. It was a lot of work.
Yeah, and COVID hits right at the, you know, like, had you broken dirt at that point? Pretty close.
Yeah, no, we moved down here. We moved down here and started building after COVID.
After COVID.
Yeah, but we bought the lot pre-COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
But, we didn't really think about that much.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
permits and all that. You're just...
We're going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it took about 14 months to build, but we bought it in 2018. So between that and now was all like architectural stuff and permitting and environmental studies.
You get an architect?
Yeah, we had a couple of them. We started with one in Seattle that did the whole like envelope of the place, all the footprint. Then we hired a local one to make sure that we were set up for hurricanes and all that stuff. And started messing with the floor plans and stuff like that. And then we hired a designer that kind of put all these little finishing touches on everything and tile and the squiggly walls and the lighting and the plants and all that stuff. But yeah, it came out good. Then we've been open since November and haven't really come up for air since.
Yeah.
Been busy.
Yeah, good.
Really busy.
Yeah, it's just unfriggin' believable.
But I love living down here and get to surf every day and then still get out and do a couple snowboard trips, try to do 3 or 4 a year.
Yeah, you just did one.
Yeah.
Who was on that trip?
That was my whole BTSP crew from back in the day. It was myself, Josh Brownlee, Jeff Brushy, my buddy Dave Driscoll, my brother Greg, my buddy Seth Waller, Pat A, Jerry, and my buddy Gandhi.
So sick.
Yeah, it was fun.
And it's just riding groomers and...
Groomers.
And just like... getting buck and having fun.
Yeah, we got the 2-bedroom condo and stuffed 15 people in it.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's fun. That was fun. You could walk to the lift. We hadn't done a snowboard trip forever, so it was fun.
Yeah.
From like always doing them to never doing them again, really, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's snowboard, but you never like go to a different state and go for like a week with all your buddies. I haven't done that in so long.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And it was a Vermont snowboard posse. When everything was posse, VSP, VTSP.
VTSP.
Yeah, everything was posse.
Yeah.
At that time. When did you guys start that? Like high school or?
That was high school. That was probably 10th, 11th grade. My buddy Josh Brownlee, he just for Christmas surprised us all with like custom t-shirts.
Nice.
And it just said VTSP on it. It's not like it was started. It's like, let's start a posse.
Yeah.
So it was like Christmas time and he took his time and drew out all these sick shirts.
Oh, that's dope.
And like my shirt was like a picture that I had like an ISM back in the day. Jeff had one that was like published somewhere. It was like me and Jeff, my buddy G-Man, Josh Brownlee, who started it. Cole Boucher, and Mike Hayes.
That's so rad.
Yeah, and then after that, there was other people, like tons of other people that kind of hopped in. Whoever put their name on the board could pretty much be on that crew.
Oh,
it wasn't really like, this is the crew.
Yeah.
It was more kind of funny kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's what the whole thing was. Like, it was crews. It was,
yeah, you know. We just mark our boards up.
Yeah.
It was really nothing, but it's pretty funny because, yeah, it did kind of take its own little form somehow. I have no idea. I think that was probably Jeff's fault for putting it on his board.
Yeah.
But, Vermont has a snowboard Hall of Fame, and they inducted us into it.
The whole posse.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
It was pretty sick.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was like in 2014, I think, in Stowe, Vermont. At this old, I think it was an old church or an old high school or something. We were thinking like maybe a couple of our buddies and family would be there, but it was during Jake's party and he lives in Stowe.
Oh, wow.
And he brought like his whole team down. So it was like all the new Burton team, Jake, and just like the whole place was packed. There was like 100 people there.
Dude.
It was packed. Oh, it was pretty sick.
Yeah.
It was fun.
That's a life memory.
Yeah.
Hey?
I'm sure I'm probably missing some other people, but
yeah.
So that's how it started. Just like my buddy making some Christmas gifts for us.
Yeah. Well, Brownlee had a good career too, right?
Like actually Josh rode for Liquid too.
Did he?
Yeah, I forgot him. He had a pretty bad accident in Tahoe and was in the hospital for like 3 months before, you know, I think he was like 23, 24, but he would have been on all those trips with us if that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
He just got picked up by Liquid and he was doing his thing and went over, I think it was Donner Pass, went off a cliff, like maybe a 30 footer right to rocks. Ugh.
Yeah. Snowboarding is way gnarlier than, like for injuries than any of the other board sports really.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're surfing out here pretty close to those rocks, but like the number of times that somebody gets swept up onto those rocks.
Yeah.
That's not a tourist. It's just swimming out there, not knowing what they're doing.
Yeah, totally.
Like once you get to the point where you're paddling outside and getting that break, you're not going to slam into the rocks.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Really?
I hit him a couple times. I just brush him up. You want to talk about a little early Stratton days?
I would love to talk about early Stratton days. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Because it became the hub of the wheel for
that's where everyone,
the U.S. Open.
That's where everyone honed their skills.
Yeah. who were the people that were riding there when it... Who made it good? Like, who was the first one to dig it properly? Was there a person?
Yeah, I forget the guy's name. I'm sure all the Stratton people would know his name right off the top of their head, but... The Stratton's pipe was good. Everyone hand dug their pipes back in the day, but Stratton had a guy that came in with a backhoe.
Yeah, I remember seeing the photos of it.
Yeah, and his name's Kyle. I think his name's Kyle. But he'd come in with a backhoe and just sculpt it up perfect.
Yeah.
Still a small pipe today's standards, but that was like the biggest pipe back in the day.
What size? Like 18 or something? Or 16?
Probably, 14? I have no idea. I'd be guessing 14 maybe. Probably 6 feet. I have no idea. Probably six.
Yeah. So would you ride there every day? Is that how you honed your skills? That was your...
I would ride there as much as I could for sure. Didn't really, you know, spent some time there at Seth Neary's place at in Stratton and rode with those guys a lot. But never, I think if I was to do my whole stuff over, I would park myself there for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed riding pipe back in the day. It was really fun. Then I really enjoyed riding powder after my snowboard career too. But pipe was so much fun. You would just session with all your buddies.
Yeah.
Be like Seth Neary, Miller, Jim Moran. Everybody was there. Ross Powers. Trish Burns, Doug Burns, Hobie Chittenden.
Seth Westcott still riding pipe at that point?
Yeah, you would see Seth there for sure.
He
was definitely riding pipe then. Yeah. And he was a good racer back then, too.
Ripping racer, too, right? He came out of that academy that a bunch of those guys went to, right? Like Fawcett and...
Jeremy Jones. Sugarloaf?
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Could have been. And Mame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fossa was on Sims when I was on Sims, too.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was ripping it.
Yeah, he was. He was good.
He was a legitimate half-pipe competitor for a while there, too, but that was really like, his racing
was... Yeah, his racing was top-notch back in the day.
He was unbeatable there. Yeah.
He'd do well in the freestyle stuff, too.
Yeah.
But not like racing.
Yeah, people used to shoot for that overall. That used to be a
big
deal.
Yeah. That's when I was, you know, earlier days of my snowboarding, it was racing, then freestyle, freestyle with racing.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you competed back then, you would always do half-pipe and then whatever. Gates.
Yeah. Actually, Jeff is one of the first people that is, you know, where people go, oh, Jeff stopped doing the racing.
Yeah.
I think Jason Ford said it. Well, if he's not doing it, I don't
know. Exactly. Then no one else did it anymore.
Yeah. And Jeff was the first to just be like,
I remember I had a contest in that. I think it was Bear. And like, I didn't make the finals in the half pipe, but I made the finals in like the racing, and I was so bummed. And I didn't even go do my final runs. I was just so bummed.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was second tier for sure, hey?
It was like, fun, though. Like, yeah. I had a really fun time, like, running gates. It's fun. But yeah, it was second tier. It wasn't second tier. I shouldn't say that.
People that were into it. Yeah, people that were into it were into it. But, like, the freestyle guys were the cool guys and the, like, that we wanted to be like. So when we had to go to contests, it was like, you know, I remember people like riding only toe side flip.
Oh, really?
Toe side.
Yeah.
And not trying to win. Or anything, oh. You know? So weird. You go to a contest, but then if you really were trying to win, you looked like a little bit like a tryhard. But not, I mean, not if you're like Todd or somebody that's gonna win.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you're some guy like us that's gonna get 27th place or whatever.
Yeah.
Trying so hard. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
When the open would come, everybody would be there.
Yeah.
Like the whole industry.
Yeah. And there was huge parties at the Hayes' house.
Yeah.
And there were Steve and Mike.
Yeah.
Super nice dudes.
Yeah.
And they let us stay on their floor. You know, we're in high school.
Oh, wow.
Stay on their floor and sleep next to the keg, but you could walk right up to the pipe. Amazing.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have felt like the entire industry's all in one
Totally.
Spot,
like, yeah.
Every year.
Uh-huh.
And it's like your home spot.
Yeah. They were nice to us in that way, you know? Stay here.
Did you ever have a, like, you know, podium at Stratton?
No, never a podium, but bunch of top tens.
Yeah. Like made it through to the finals.
Yeah, finals were 16, top 16. It was tough because I wasn't really a consistent halfpipe rider. I'd always crash, have a good run, bad run, and they were all combined scores.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'd have one good run and then one bad one.
Yeah.
And then always finish like, it was hard for me to make the finals that way too, actually.
Right.
If I could stand on my feet, I'd make the finals pretty easily.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if I've ever put two runs down.
Like in the finals.
Yeah.
Right.
But in like practice, I would never crash. It was weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it like.
I wasn't a good competitor.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you compete against like Terrier? Was he in it at that
point? Yeah. Yeah. Uh huh.
That's nuts, right?
He, good competitor.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, he's just so much better than everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you would have competed against Jimmy Scott.
Mm hmm.
Guys like, you know, those competitor guys.
Yeah, totally.
And Craig, at that era?
I competed against Craig in the Open for sure.
Sick.
But maybe only the first couple years.
Yeah, because he quit competing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But he was definitely in there. Terry Kidwell, Palmer, Slaznik.
He was still competing.
Yeah, I remember Terry Kidwell at Stratton for sure.
Yeah, probably into the apocalypse days, too.
Yeah, I think it probably was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about him until I started doing the show.
Uh-huh.
And then you look back and you're like, wow.
Yeah, way ahead of his time.
Just such style.
He's so sick.
Keith Kimmel, too.
Yeah.
Another one of those.
I had a big... I painted a life-size Terry Kidwell drawing on my door in my bedroom when I was younger, doing, like, the side rocket tweak.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. I wish I had a photo of it. I never took a photo of it.
Oh, that's so
dope. Can't even draw, but it came out really pretty sweet.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. I never told him that.
You gotta do that up here. Yeah.
Yeah, I should, right on the wall.
Terry Kimmel right there. Like a high school era drawing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing, dude.
That's funny.
That's a good spot to have it, dude. Thank you so much for having me into your beautiful resort.
Absolutely. Welcome.
This place is awesome.
Thank you.
And I see my wife's over there. No,
Tom. Hey, did she go in?
She did.
Good for her. She needs to go to the bar and get herself another bar.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Awesome. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
F and Rad shout outs this week to Chris Swears and his wife Shell. Thanks for the margaritas and letting my wife use the pool and hot tub. Special thanks this week to Devin Walsh for ripping up Seymour, with Mike Rutter from Caribou, Rob from Wired, and Brad Hepner, among others. Fun times. I may have to skip next week's show in order to get George Pappas's episode dialed in. I can't wait to get that out for you guys. Be sure to come back watch the feed for another episode of the F and Red Snowboard Podcast, presented by Vans and brought to you by SIA Productions.